We're still in the book of Revelation. We're on that Revelation road. We're traveling through the book. We're taking from it those things which prepare us for the last days on earth, for those of us who are Christians. And I remind you that as I look at the book of Revelation during this time, I'm looking for ways to prepare the church, the bride of Christ. And that's what we see in those, especially, those first four chapters of the book of Revelation. We see the bride of Christ. Because you see, we are His by adoption. We've been sealed to the day of redemption. We're held by His mighty right hand. Oh, you know, when you think about it, you think about the fact that He has His hand on us. He has us in His hand. He has the warriors surrounded around us, and He has His hand upon us. We belong to Him. He saved us. And therefore, we seeing with eyes of faith and hearing with ears of faith, we find comfort here. We find encouragement here. We find admonition here. We're encouraged to understand and to know that the free gift of God in Christ Jesus is grace. Grace. Wonderful, marvelous, matchless grace. Revelation is dictated by Jesus Christ. It's written by John the Baptist, or John the Apostle, and it's written to the churches then and now. Revelation is for us to find hope in the end times. Revelation is to warn unbelievers and to comfort believers. We've examined the church at Ephesus that had loveless orthodoxy. We've examined the church at Smyrna that has been praised for their purity. But now we come to the church at Pergamum, and it's the church of corrupted compromise. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 says, write to the angel of the church at Pergamum. Thus says the one who has the sharp, double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan's throne is. Yet you're holding on to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death among you, where Satan dwells, where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You've come... You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to place a stumbling block in front of the Israelites, to eat meat sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. In the same way, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. So repent. Otherwise, I will come to you quickly, and I will fight against you with the sword of my mouth. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I'll give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name is inscribed that no one knows, except the one who receives it. I love that. We find that Jesus Christ says in His letter to the church at Pergamum that the Christians there may well be described as living in Satan's city. In chapter 2 and verse 13, He says, I know where you dwell. It's where Satan's throne is. Later on, He says, I know where you live, because Pergamum is the place where Satan dwells. Pergamum was one of the largest cities of the ancient world, a population of 190,000. was the capital city of the Roman province of Asia. And it was famous for several things, but it was famous for the worship of four different cults of that day. And each of those cults was represented in the city in some form or fashion. But there was one that was directed to the imperial cult of Caesar. And were it not for the fact that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, it would be frightening to hear that Pergamum was the place where Satan dwells. Satan's throne is here in Pergamum. In a very powerful and consecrated way, Satan had made Pergamum his earthly base of operation. And in so doing, this church has a letter written to them for a very pointed reason. They had spiritually compromised their existence. It warns, this letter warns them against that. Despite being faithful under those severe circumstances, under severe persecution, the church had allowed false worldly teaching into their community and was commanded to repent. Please note that in this text, Jesus is identified as the one who has a sharp, two-edged sword coming from his mouth. In chapter 1, we see that, or chapter 2, the first verse, we see that he was introduced as the one holding the two-edged sword. That sword reminds us that he wielded defense against an oncoming attack, and he wielded it offensively to slay his enemies. But in the case of Jesus, the sword comes from his mouth. It would be easy for us in our world of AI and everything else to create an image of Jesus with a sword coming from his mouth, but there wasn't a literal sword coming from his mouth. It was figurative, because it pointed to the words of Jesus that are powerful force. The words of Jesus that are not only in the defense, but they're also in building up the people of God. Yes, they're in judgment. Yes, the words can be in judgment. And yes, the words can be destructive to the enemies. But Jesus also encourages us, strengthens us, helps us along the way. And he is here where Satan's throne is. Being the capital city of the Roman province of Asia, it was the hub of pagan worship. It hosted the massive altars, and Satan's throne was there. It really shows the hostileness of this place. It shows the intensity of the warfare, spiritual warfare that's there. And it shows the idolatrous culture, the environment that this church lived in. But remember that even though this is the throne of Satan, even though this is his earthly headquarters in Pergamum, Jesus reminds them, I'm with you. I'm among you. I know where you dwell. We're going to look at the commendation, we're going to look at the condemnation, and we're going to look at the rewards that come, the crowning of the church at Pergamum. Father, I pray that you'll remind us that we live in the midst of struggles and heartaches. We live in the midst of Satan's tempting us, and we live in the midst of people who compromised the gospel. I pray, Father, that you would help us, each of us, stand true and strong, that we would not back down, that we would speak the word of truth, and to know that we live even with the possibility of persecution and death, we live with you, knowing that we have eternity with you. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.